I've had the opportunity twice in my life to hear the band U2 play live. The first was at what was then called the Air Canada Centre, and then later at the Rogers Centre. During that first concert, they ended by playing the song 40. Bono, the lead singer, engaged the audience. He invited people to sing the refrain with him. As we all sang together, one by one, the band left the stage. About 20,000 voices, accompanied by a guitar, bass, and drums. Then by bass and drums. Then by drums alone. And finally, we sung a cappella. We sung until the house lights came up, and we knew that the evening had drawn to its close. I remember standing there smiling, strangely subdued, peaceful. Each person began to wander out of the arena and to make their way home. I remember being so peaceful, in fact, that it was almost surreal. I wondered if I just left a concert or worship. I wondered what other people who had no idea what we just sang, this song, this sacred text, I wondered what they thought about it all. There was something about ending a concert by singing together, a refrain of hope and of longing. A refrain that invites reorientation, coming together. It sounded this deep chord within me. U2's 40 has invited me to think about what these songs are all about. The sounding of deep, resonant, truthful chords that tell not just about the lives of some ancient people, that ancient Israelite community from which the authors come, but also they speak about our own lives, our very personal lives. Ancient words that are our words as well. The Psalms tell of this journey of God's people, the journey of life, a journey that involves movement, and change and action. A journey that starts with and celebrates God's creation. A place of beginning, standing on solid, firm ground. A place where we can get oriented to God. And as life continues on the journey, it passes through and sometimes even remains in these painful, challenging, difficult places of disorientation, confusion, doubt, struggle. And life has a way at various times and in various places of ultimately being freeing, where we discover newness, a new vision, a life that's focused on God rather than on ourselves, of movement, of reorientation, reconnecting with that vision of creation and goodness from the beginning. And the Psalms are not just about this one way of being, but rather it's a great symphony. We hear in the Psalms the loneliness of the blues, the heartache of country, the anger at times of punk music, and the beauty of a classical string quartet. And the Psalms remind us that we need all of this music, all of these forms, if we're to be honest about who we are, if we're to reflect the image of God, and if we're to keep moving. The Psalms speak the truth. They get to the point. They reveal what is at the very heart of God and at our very heart. We can identify with the ups in life and with the downs. And we come to realize that we're not alone in the midst of those moments, that God is right there with us. So many of the Psalms, especially the ones that we don't like to read in church on Sunday, they involve lament and complaint. In some of them, the psalmist is angry and upset. Bono, the lead singer of U2, talks about those psalms in this way. A lot of the psalms to me feel like human beings shouting at God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, God? Bono says, for me, it's in his despair that the psalmist really reveals the nature of his relationship with God. Honesty even to the point of anger. Maybe the psalms give us a special permission to sing the blues, to be in touch with those places of struggle or lament, despair, hurt, confusion. But the message of the Psalms does not stop there. The Psalms remind us that God hears our cry, delivers us from times of trouble. The Psalms even go one step further. They say that we should respond with a joyful new song, a joyful new way of being. And they remind us, too, that even in the midst of that joy, life might interrupt. And we might find ourselves crying again. In the church, I think we've convinced ourselves that our faith must be one that's so polite and politically correct that we have squeezed much of the emotion out of Scripture. We don't like to talk about those passages that speak about anger or depression or pain. We especially don't like to talk about them on a Sunday morning. Unfortunately, when we do this to Scripture, when we take out the lament and the disorientation, we avoid acknowledging a huge part of our human experience. So often people need permission to be in touch with this experience. It's more comfortable, though, isn't it, to just shut out the ugliness, to close the blinds, to pretend what's on the other side just doesn't exist. Don't go there. In the language of the Psalms, we avoid the desolate pit, the miry bog. We don't want to talk about that stuff. Like when we get the phone call. That one. Or the day that he leaves and doesn't come back. Or when the test results come, don't like to talk about those things. But the journey, the Psalms, God reminds us that we will be disoriented on this journey. That's the reality. That's the truth. And without a language to name it, without a place to have conversation about it, it can be very hard to experience that new song, that joy that then comes, that reorientation. Sometimes we need to dwell in the midst of the muck and the mire in order to be able to sing that new song. It's interesting how art, music, and the visual arts invite us to be in touch and in tune with those realities in so many ways. Maybe we should follow the lead of some contemporary musicians who aren't afraid to sing of the blues, aren't afraid to tell the story of hurt and struggle in the world, even sometimes hurt and struggle with humanity, with God, with injustice. I think of Bruce Coburn's rage. His rage about the attack on inhabitants in refugee camps in his song, If I Had a Rocket Launcher. Or Christian singer-songwriter Steve Bell. We've heard his music on Sunday mornings. In Somebody's Gotta Pay, a song he writes to vent about sexual exploitation. Or Bono. as he really doesn't sing, but snarls the words of Bullet from the Blue Sky, a song about his disgust with United States foreign policy in El Salvador. Or Macklemore and Ryan Lewis in their powerful song, Same Love, asking us if we really do love other people, or do we just judge them because they don't fit in the box that we want to put them in. I think these musicians and artists are onto something. They're onto something that we too easily can forget. They remind us that God wants it all. That God invites all of it. Even those moments and times that may seem ugly or nasty. Even some of our most challenging reactions to disorientation. That God wants all of it. That God invites us to express this much, not just this much. Because it indeed was God in the first place who did that for us. This means, too, that sometimes we may, in the midst of this journey, have moments where we can't pray, or we can't praise, or we can't deal with happy people. The Psalms remind us that that's okay. That God still loves you. That God is still with you. We're reminded too that because we're part of this community, that if you find yourself in the midst of those moments, know that someone else sitting beside you or at the end of the phone, or who's showing up with a meal, will carry that hope and that love for you. The words to the hymn Servant Song, or some of us may know it better, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You, speak about this. I will hold the Christ light for you in the nighttime of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. We're called to be present with each other in the midst of the whole journey, all of it. God has given us this ability to be present with each other, to laugh when others are laughing, to celebrate with others who are celebrating, and to weep with those who are weeping. And the psalm reminds us, wait patiently for the Lord. Wait patiently for the Lord. In U2's version of this psalm, it asks this question over and over and over again. How long? How long to sing this song? For as long as it takes, I imagine. For as long as it takes for that song to become part of us, part of our breath, part of our very being, until we, like the psalmist, can say, here I am. I delight to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. And that song so graciously given to us by God, once it is in our hearts, will go on forever and ever and ever.